Bless you, Sister Jeannie. Before I begin, and I'm always so hesitant to call names because I'm just always so afraid that my frail mind that I'll miss people and leave them out. But I wanted to say that I'm very thankful to have Brother and Sister Doss with us today. I'm glad they could be here, and I'm glad to have Brother Sanford with us today, and appreciate him being here in our service. And again, I want to welcome all of our visitors. I hope that you'll get something from the Lord here in this service at Fairview Memorial this morning. And I ask an interest in your prayers, and I want to read today from the very beginning of the Scriptures. If you want to read with me, I'm going to read just a very short reading lesson in the first chapter of Genesis, beginning with the first verse. Genesis 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And I want to stop my reading there with verse 5, having read from Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5 for a scripture reading. I want to ask the audience here today, I want to ask how many of you can relate to a time in your life. Now, if you want to raise your hand and acknowledge this, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. You can just think about it in your own heart. But I want to ask you the question today, how many of you are here today that can relate to a time in your life where somehow you came to the realization that you were lost? How many of you came to the realization that you're lost? Just think about that. How many of you are here today that were brought to the realization that you had been saved? How many of you have come to a church service, such as we have this morning, came here and you assembled in worship, not intending at all to say anything, but somewhere during that church service, you were just being compelled to stand up and testify, perhaps about your experience of salvation or something else that you'd experienced in your life? How many of you have experienced such a thing as that? And those things, and the reason I ask those questions is those things, and I believe that truly this is something, and I don't want to, I don't ever want to say that we're the only ones that do anything or experience anything, but I really believe it's been my experience anyway in having dealings with others through the years, that I believe that this is something that really separates and really identifies and something unique about the old line Baptist people. And that is our belief in the working of the Holy Spirit and our knowledge of the working of the Holy Spirit. There will be a lot of people today, and I'm not making fun of or I'm not being malicious. I'm stating the fact. There will be a lot of people today that will assemble in congregations, and they will carry out what they denote to be a worship service, and they will go through various steps in that. They'll have various things that they do in that service, and the Lord won't have a part in any of it. That's just the truth. It's all been planned and it's all been programmed. And I'm glad today that we give way, that we yield right of way to the Spirit of Almighty God. That we allow Him and not only allow, but we want God. We want the Lord to move among us. And that's what I wanted to speak about today. Title of my message will be, When the Spirit of God Moves. And we find this recorded, as you have noticed today in this reading, we find this recorded as soon as the Scriptures open. As soon as we begin to read from the Scriptures, we find it being said that the Spirit of God moved. The particular thing that's said about it here is that He moved, and I might say this, He moved, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God is a person, not just a thing. He moved, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, to the best of my knowledge, and I mean, I could be mistaken. I don't believe that I am, but I certainly could be. But to the best of my knowledge, these words directly, this is the only time that this language is found in all of the Bible. In the very first, in fact, in the second verse of the Bible, it tells us that the Spirit of God moved. And I don't believe that you will find those exact words and that exact phrase anywhere else in the Scriptures where it says the Spirit of God moved. Now there are many other things said about the Spirit, the things that the Spirit, Holy Spirit did, and I want to share some of them with you in this message. But here it tells us the Spirit of God moved. Well, how did it move? Well, it moved upon the face of the waters. And the Hebrew word from which moved here was taken, in the definition of that, seems to imply a shaking, that the Spirit of God shook the face of the waters. And there was something that I wanted to also ask you to notice with me in this, is that when the Spirit of God, we have here, according to this account from Moses, we have here just a very general statement made in the very opening of the Bible. In the beginning, and I believe it was referencing the beginning of time, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created it. When He created it, the Bible goes on and tells us that it was without form, that it was void, that there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And in this state of chaos, the Spirit of God shook the face of the waters. He moved upon the face of the waters. You know, let me tell you something. When the Spirit of God moves, there's great power being manifested. In fact, the greatest power that has ever been is being manifested when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, moves. Now, it's my belief, and I don't believe here some may have various beliefs, but it's my belief that in this verse, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that it was in reference to the Holy Spirit of God. We read about, in the very beginning of the Scriptures, we read about God in by the term us. We read about, I believe, the three persons of the Godhead were active. They existed and they were active in the creation. And so I believe we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God moving up on the face of the waters. And when he did that, I want you to make note of this. When the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, things began to happen. His earth that he had created, and that was dark, that was covered with darkness, even upon the face of the deep, when the Spirit of God shook that and began to move upon the face of the waters, he began to form and he began to fashion his creation. He called for light. And there's a great sermon in that. I mean, and there's a great spiritual. This was a natural light that God spoke into existence, but there are great spiritual lessons in that. And you can begin right there in the third verse of the first chapter of Genesis. You can begin to follow the darkness and you can begin to follow the light, and you'll see those things all throughout the scriptures till the time we come into the New Testament and Jesus came and he said, I am the light of the world, and whoever walks in him won't be walking in darkness. God said, let there be light. The power of the command of his voice. I'm telling you folks today, God is all powerful. He is omnipotent. He has all power. And the Bible even teaches me that the powers that be are ordained of him. God is all powerful. His Spirit began to move and began to beautify his creation. We go on and we read in the third chapter, or the second and the third chapter of Genesis, especially the second chapter, we begin to read about during that time of creation, of those 6 days of creation, of the different things that the Lord had made. And so in the first chapter, in the second verse of Genesis, we read about the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. Now let's look in the New Testament. One verse in the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy, this is talking about the Word of God and how the Scriptures came to us. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now here in the New Testament, we have another verse that references the moving. It's not exactly in the words of the book of Genesis, but it again references the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, let me tell you something, and don't ever make this mistake, because some people have, and some people have tried, to prove that there is a difference. But I assure you today that when you read these terms in the Bible, there is absolutely no difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. They are the same thing. Ghost, Spirit, they're taken from the same word. And so in 2 Peter, the Holy Spirit moved upon these men in old times. And the Word of God, you know, there's people today, there always has been, and there's still people today, and they make an argument. I believe it's a silly argument myself. In fact, I believe it's a very damaging argument to them. But there are people today that still make the argument, well, why should I believe the Bible? Why should I put any stock in anything that the Bible says? Because the Bible was written by men. You know what? And there were men that wrote these things down. They were merely the scribes. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God is the author of all Scripture. It's God's Word. It's not man's Word. And I guarantee you, if you discredit it and you discount it, And, you know, if you choose to do that, you can do that, but I'll guarantee you that you're going to stand before Almighty God one day, and you know what He's going to judge you with? His Word. His Word. The Bible teaches me that the books are going to be open, and we're going to be judged out of those things which are written in the books. And so the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon these holy men of old and inspired them to write the Scriptures. And I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit of God, from the very time of creation, the Holy Spirit of God has been active and has been working in this world, and He is still working in the lives of people today. And I'm thankful, as I already said, I'm thankful that I was allowed to witness what went on there last night, because I'll tell you what, the most important thing that happened there in that cabin service last night was that the Spirit of God began to move among people. And there are those of us here today that we can relate to that. Thank God that we can relate to that, and we know what that is. I'm going to tell you something today. I know the Lord. I don't just know about the Lord today. I know the Lord because of what He did for me when He saved me. And there are those times in my life when I begin to feel that. I begin to feel Him moving in my heart. I begin to feel Him. You know, sometimes it can be somewhat of a gentle thing. And I'll tell you what, there are other times in my life when the Lord has taken hold of me, and by His Spirit, He just shook me. I mean, shook me, knocked the props right out from under me and shook me in a mighty way. And I'm thankful today that God still moves with His people. Folks, I want to tell you something. I want to try to give you a great hope today and great consolation today. I believe as we assemble here this morning as Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, I'm convinced today that God is still with us. I'm convinced today that His power is still upon us. I know today that God is still able to save. I remember a time in my life, the same experience that I asked you all about this morning. I remember a time in my life when through the working of the Holy Spirit of God, let me tell you something today, folks, salvation doesn't come from a book, and salvation doesn't come from men. Salvation is of the Lord, and it comes from God when He touches you and when He speaks peace to your soul. And I remember an invisible power that worked in my life when I was just a young child. I remember going to the house of God, and I remember hearing the preachers preach the gospel. I'm thankful today that I was exposed to that. I remember hearing men get up and preach the gospel, but I remember the time when there was an invisible power that began to work in my life, and through that, I came to the realization that I was lost, that I needed a Savior. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit of God begins to do His work, and I wish people would realize sometimes, you know, what they're really doing, what they're really doing when they practice deception, because I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit of God begins to work on a person's heart, the things that the Holy Spirit of God is impressing upon that person, they don't need anybody else to tell them. They don't need anybody else. I mean, let me tell you something. God can take care of the salvation of a soul. God can bring a person through the revealing of His Holy Spirit. He can bring a person to the realization that they are lost and without God, without anybody telling them that other than Him. And when they, if they will turn to the Lord in repentance and faith and seek Him with all the heart, only the Holy Spirit of God is necessary to bring that person to the revealing, to the revelation, to the spiritual knowledge that they have been saved, by His grace. I'm telling you folks today, I'm standing before you today and testifying that when God saved my soul, I didn't need anybody else to tell me what happened. I didn't need any instruction from an older Christian. I didn't need any instruction from a preacher. I didn't have to go to anybody and say, what was that? I didn't have to ask anybody what had happened. God was able to let me know what had taken place in my life. In Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, we read about a man named Samson. Now, come on, folks. Do you really believe that a man, I don't care how strong he is, do you really believe a man with his bare hands could kill a lion? I mean, do you really believe that a man by his own power can kill a bear? No, but through God they can. Through the Lord they can. I guarantee you that Samson didn't have enough strength of his own to kill a lion. But he did it just the same. He did it just the same. Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. Now, Samson killed this lion. But the Bible tells us how that he did it. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. You see, through the working of the Holy Spirit of God, we can do that. Those things that are otherwise we're not able to accomplish. We're not able to get done. I don't believe the church today can exist, and I don't believe the church today can go on without the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. We can't do anything without Him, just like Samson couldn't do anything without Him. When David was out there keeping his father's sheep at night, and the lion came against them and the bear came against them, it wasn't within that young lad's strength to subdue them by himself, but the Spirit of God came upon him and enabled him to be able to do that. He made it known. He made that known to Saul when he was going to face Goliath. He made it known to Saul that it was the Lord that had delivered the bear and the lion into his hand, and it was the Lord that he was depending upon to deliver Goliath into his hand as well. We don't have power on our own, but I'll tell you what, through the Holy Spirit, we got all the power we need. We've got all the power that we need in our individual lives, and as churches, we read in the second chapter of Acts that the Lord's church was given the promise. You know, what I saw last night and what I have seen here in the past several weeks, when I see these lost souls coming up here, broken down, mourning for their sins, seeking the Lord to be saved, those things are not wrought by the power of man. I don't believe for one minute. However well of a spokesman that he may be, I don't believe for one minute that there's a man on the face of the earth that could stand before people and preach and affect the hearts of people that way. The Spirit of God has to do that That's His work, not my work. That's not even the work of the church. That's the work of the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you what, I'm convinced that we have people among us that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is dealing with them and working with their hearts and trying to bring them by His grace and His mercy and His love to a place of repentance where they can trust Him and be saved. And I pray to God that we'll never feel like we've outgrown our need of the power of the Holy Spirit. The church was promised that. You shall receive power. The same power, I believe, that shook the face of the deep. That same power of God, I believe, was promised to His church. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And there they were. They were gathered together, and they were keeping the Lord's instruction. They were waiting. They were tarrying in Jerusalem, waiting for this great promise from God. And on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us there came a great sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house. And folks, I'll tell you what, I don't believe that's the day the church was born, but I do believe it was the day she was empowered to go and to carry out what the Lord had commissioned her to do. And that great power came down upon the church. And folks, listen, that was the Holy Ghost. That was the Holy Spirit that came upon her. And when the Holy Spirit came in that way, miraculous things began to happen. There were Jews out of every nation under heaven that had gathered there, and they began to hear the gospel in their own language. And there were people that began to get saved. In fact, there were 3,000, the Bible tells us, that got saved. Why? Because it was still in the days of the apostles and there were great preachers? No. Because God poured His power out. Tell you what, we need that, folks. We need that. You know, whenever we assemble, and I'm not telling you that we, have to anticipate that every service is going to be alike. But I'll tell you what, church, every time we come together, every time we meet and we assemble ourselves to worship the Lord, we ought to have spent time praying that God would manifest His great power among us, that He would move among us, that He would move upon the hearts of people, that He would move us as His people to worship Him and to honor Him. I believe that in my own experience and in my own life, I believe that I have got to have the moving of the Holy Spirit of God in my life to be effective. I believe I've got to have the Holy Spirit with me to worship Him effectively. I believe I've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit with me to witness effectively to people. And I believe we need it in our services. I believe that the days of the Great Awakening, you read in the days of great revival in this country, and you'll find accounts of when God's people came together and they did not witness the great power of the Holy Spirit. You know what they'd do? They would go someplace and they'd find themselves a place to pray, and they'd find out why. That they hadn't felt it. If it seemed to leave them, they would soon find out why. They wouldn't just accept it. They would find out why. They would search their hearts, ask God to search their hearts, and find out why He had not been with them and had not made His power known unto them. Is God moving in your heart today? If you're here today and you're saved, is God moving on your heart today for you to do something? You know, when we read about the things that God has accomplished through His Holy Spirit. It's no wonder that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said, quench not the Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't deny the Holy Spirit of God. But how many times have we been guilty? Think about it in your own life. How many times have we been guilty? How many confessions have you heard? How many times have you heard somebody say, boy, I sat in that service and I just knew that I was supposed to do something for God. I just knew that I was supposed to testify. I just knew that I was supposed to tell my experience, but I got up and I went home having never done that. How many times? And you know, we may confess those things and we may take those things lightly, but you know what? We don't know what God may have done with that if we would have just been obedient to what He was moving on our heart to do. We don't know how that it may have affected somebody if we would just obey. When the Holy Spirit of God moves among us, He's wanting to do good things, isn't He? He is wanting to do good things. And so I ask you today, is He moving on you? If you're here today and you're saved, is God moving on you? Is there something that you are supposed to do or say? If you're here today and you've been brought to the realization through the work of the Holy Spirit that you're lost, I guarantee you today, right straight from God's Word, He would have never done that unless He wanted to save you. The Bible tells me when God works on us that way, that what He is attempting to do by His goodness is lead us to repentance. He wants to lead you to repentance. I love what the Holy Spirit can do. There have been times in my life, different situations, where I would just feel, I mean, it'd just be almost like a gentle breeze blowing through my soul. Just a calm, gentle breeze. And then there have been other times that God, through His Spirit, would grab me, just grab a hold of me in a very mighty way. And the Lord could manifest Himself. He proved that to Elijah. He can manifest Himself however that He chooses. He can do it through the fire. He can do it through the earthquake. Or He can do it through the still, small voice. I'm telling you, if you know, if the Holy Spirit of God has made it known to you that you're lost, you do not have to wait for God to knock you off your seat to seek the Lord. You need to be seeking Him. If He's made it known to you that you're lost, you need to be seeking Him for salvation. And as God's people, we should not, you know, we should not have to wait till the point that God is beating us to death to be willing to say something for Him. How many times you heard this? I've told you this before. It's just what seems apparent. How many times have you heard somebody get up and say, man, if I don't testify, I'm going to die because my heart's about to beat out my chest. What's that telling us? That we're willing to talk for God just before we have a heart attack? Just before cardiac arrest, I'll testify. No, we should, you know, God shouldn't have to do that to us. Shouldn't have to do that to us. We ought to be willing when he moves upon us. If he moves upon us in a gentle way, we ought to be willing to follow the Holy Spirit of God. I'd like for us to have a song. I'd like to make a request as we stand and sing. I would like to just simply ask everybody here today to do what God tells you to do. Just do what God. I'm not asking you to do anything that I tell you to do. I'm just asking you to do what God tells you to do today while we stand and sing.